Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
You know, we were just joking before we, began recording today. What we really like, if you're new to Flyover Conservatives, you've had a couple of shows or caught them randomly, maybe you just clicked on it for today's guest, but we look for this hybrid of people that are smart and that have done stuff.
True.
You know,
that's very important.
It's critical because there's a lot of smart people that aren't doing anything.
That do nothing.
And there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of stuff and they're not that smart. And so
I don't know what's better.
I don't know.
I would say taking action's better.
I at least if it's a smart person not doing anything, at least they're kind of benign.
True.
And not really hurt anything. There's nothing worse than a dumb person that's very active and doing a lot. But today's guest does that. Also, I would say a moral compass that's predetermined and whatever happens in life, if you kind of have a North Star and you're not a windsock that just waves left and right based on what people want you to do, what's going to get more clicks or what keeps you in favor with the right groups of people. And when you find that person, I tell you what, they're probably around in the past, but they all blended together because there wasn't necessarily a crisis or a reason to stand out. Mm-hmm. And so when you get somebody that's smart and doing a lot of stuff and a predetermined moral compass, you know what they're about and it's not determined on a daily basis of, hey, what's popular right now, mm-hmm. and go in that direction. They're focused on truth at all cost. There's a line they won't cross. They can't be bought. It's
right.
Like, no, this is what I'm about. Today's guest has been to Yale University, Oxford University, author of best-selling books, but also can articulate some of the most complex and sometimes even painful truths of our time. She's the CEO of Daily Clout, and I'm super pumped to talk to Miss Naomi Wolf.
Yay!
Doctor.
Yay, welcome.
I love that, those sound effects. I definitely should have like a machine that does that on a bad day. Just press yes.
Absolutely.
Some things are too important to leave to chance. You can go sometimes days in a row without a standing ovation in life.
That's true.
So people should make that their text message yeah. notification, or something.
Definitely.
Less annoying than a ding. It's so great to have you. I just want to squeeze as much out of your brilliant brain as we can during a few minutes that we have you. But before we get into some of these topics, I just want to talk about that, the ability to speak truth in a way that's loving, not for the sake of just flipping tables and being controversial. But a lot of people have not been an opportunity where they had to do that, and they're at the water cooler, the church foyer, they're now in conversations with people that they know, love, and trust. And it creates a fearfulness of like, if I'm not agreeable with everything that everyone says, they self-censor, in a way. And there's like a fine line between not just walking around and telling everybody what you think, like the movie Liar Liar with Jim Carrey or something, but how have you kind of navigated that in yourself? Mm-hmm. Because you've stayed a course with more at stake than most people, and not getting into all the history of that, because we've gone that road before. But just in your own thought process, what is it that gives you that ability to say, no, 2 + 2 = 4, and that's just the truth?
Oh, well, I guess that's a great question. I mean, we probably already talked about why it's easy, relatively easy for me to do that, because I got completely ejected from my life and my profession, mm-hmm. and my community in June of 2021 for raising an alarm about the harms to women and reproduction from the mRNA injections. So I had nothing left to lose. So that, made things pretty easy. But I like to think that I would have anyway, and that I guess brings up the second question, which is, I guess I really just have always believed that someday I will, I'll die, right, someday, mm-hmm. and I will be sure. accountable for what I did on this sure. planet. And so whatever, the stakes in this moment are so high, as you mentioned, and especially with the work that your audience may know I've been doing for the last 2.5 years, overseeing or helping to oversee this incredible project that sounded the alarm on the dangers and kind of murderous intentions and results of the mRNA injection, the sterilization, the disabilities, and so on. Mm-hmm. How could I not, right? So nothing is as scary as being complicit in murder, let alone mass murder, in my view. And I guess I would just throw in, you know, a couple of other why, right? You know, I'm Jewish, and there was a time no one spoke up for us. Mm-hmm. And I'm a student of history. I mean, I studied the demise of democracies for one of my books, The End of America. And if you don't speak up now, it doesn't get better. You know, like, it just gets worse. So those are some of the reasons that it seems like I don't really have a choice.
Well, courage is contagious. And I hope our audience catches that from you. I hope I continue to catch that from you. And I love having on guests that are courageous and say, you know, even if you don't invite me to that cocktail party anymore, you know what, even if you sort of lose the favor, the warmth of the sun from certain groups of people, that is probably very enticing. It's easy to be in. There's no headwind against you. It's all wind in the sails. It feels easy to go kind of against the grain and to be maybe early on information, and to live a life based on, you know what, this is right. Maybe I'll be referred to in the future in a better light than I am in the current. I want more of that in my life. I want to be around more of that.
And you have written some books. The producer had that there, but let's talk about your book, Facing the Beast, Encourage Faith and Resistance in the New Dark Age. What made you write that book, and why is it significant for this time?
Yeah, well, it's kind of the third in a trilogy. I mentioned The End of America, which I wrote actually in the Bush era, 2007 and into 2008, when I warned that we could lose our democracy, we could become a tyranny. And as I mentioned, I looked at other times and places where democracies were killed off by tyrants, whether they were on the left or the right. And so I saw they always did the same 10 things. It's a map. So then I updated that for the bodies of others at the start of the pandemic. And Facing the Beast is the latest update. It's basically a kind of journal of the last 2.5 years. And I guess the central theme is, just what it's been like to observe America become a two-tier society, bring back the equivalent of Jim Crow laws, but this time, you know, against people like me who are, thank God, unvaccinated, you know, with the mRNA injection. What it did to our communities, what it did to our friendships, to our, you know, how the mask has kind of fallen off our institutions. I mean, that's, you know, the title, Facing the Beast. The Beast has many layers, right? One literal reason I titled it that was there was a bear in our backyard. But the more metaphorical reason is that we got comfortable with very scary things like the influence of China, or, you know, the Beast is also our willingness to divide ourselves, you know, to discriminate against people, to, you know, cut off ties with our loved ones, with people we don't agree with. And the Beast is also, you know, a theme is that what it was like to oversee this work and find out that major corporations, our government, our media were all complicit in rolling out something that they knew would, at least the manufacturers knew and the government would have also known, would injure, kill, and sterilize millions of people. That also is the Beast. And I guess lastly, for your audience, this may be especially important in the wake of overseeing that project and facing that, you know, horror, basically. I did kind of, it is also a story of kind of faith, right? Or finding faith, or finding a new meaning or understanding of faith, because I did conclude that this rollout is part of a battle between good and evil, and we're in the middle of it. And you know that I'm almost done, I promise. But
no,
I kind
it's
of
great.
Concluded that. Thank you. I concluded that in 2020, you know, human history, the history with which we were familiar, you know, our whole lives, kind of ended, and a new form of history began, and it's kind of a metaphysical history. So I don't really understand all the layers of where we are now, but I know that things are happening now that cannot be explained through material causality alone.
Interesting.
Well, you had a conversation with Steve Kirsch, and you were talking about numbers and data, and you had this question. I've heard you reference this of intent, like this. the damage that's being caused. We're going to get into some numbers that are kind of shocking that you're a part of bringing to the front. But you said intent. And then you go back to even 2018 and knowing nanoparticles and what was in there. What kind of knowledge was known beforehand of the damage that could be caused? Because you judge somebody based on, that was an accident. They caused tremendous damage, but it was accidental. Whether it's, just something in your life, somebody spilled something or broke something or backed into your car, or whatever. There's a difference between somebody driving into your car to cause damage and vandalism versus, hey, it was an accident.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know if you can kind of get into that, but there is tremendous harm being done, especially to young people in this country and the ability to reproduce. And some of it's done psychologically with a culture shift and a selfishness, that's kind of, involved in that, and demonizing family, demonizing, those. So that's a layer of, but there's also seems to be a very direct and intentional medical attack on our ability to even produce. And there's almost no other way to look at it than that.
Yeah, I have to say, I appreciate the way you set that up, because absolutely these two things go together. The physical attack and the cultural attack. And I see the same thing, I literally can't remember the last time I heard a love song sung by a woman in pop culture. It's all like, I'm better off without you. And, I'm my own best friend. And, let me have another one night stand. It's like this constant propaganda about how awful marriage and children are. Mm-hmm. And in addition, there's no question. And, I'm familiar with how you create culture. It's not accidental if all of a sudden you can no longer find a love song, in pop culture.
Right. That's intentional.
That's totally intentional. Mm-hmm. And, the algorithms, I have a young friend who's 22 or 23, and she showed me her phone and just the weird, disturbing, freaky messages, the messages about how selfish it is to have children. As you said, how it's bad for the environment. Mm-hmm. It's boring. I'll never forget this image that was in my feed and it was an AI generated image and something, some story about how babies keep you up at night, but it was an AI generated image of a mom with twin babies, allegedly, but these were AI generated babies with like multiple fingers and they looked like little monsters and they were coming to get her. It's like, no, this is not a normal message about motherhood. It's not even a human message about motherhood. It's totally anti-human. So in addition to the psychological propaganda against reproduction and families, unfortunately, there's no way to avoid concluding, from what's in the Pfizer documents, that they also knew that this injection would do what it's doing, which is collapsing the birth rate, making people mm-hmm. sterile. They knew as of November 2020 that the vaccines didn't work to stop COVID. So everything that followed was a lie after November of 2020, 1 month after rollout. In fact, Pfizer's language is that the vaccines have a failure of efficacy and vaccine failure as of that month. And then you would think that in the Pfizer documents, because it's allegedly a respiratory infection, that it would be all about lungs and breathing and mucous membranes, but there's almost nothing about lungs and breathing and respiration.
Wow.
What there is tons and tons of creepy, creepy, terrifying experimentation on human reproduction in the Pfizer documents. It with the knowledge that they were destroying human reproduction in a 360-degree holistic way. So there are charts that show tens of thousands of women who are their trial subjects having horrible menstrual problems. These are Pfizer's charts, like 15,000 women, bleeding every month, 10,000 women having two periods a month, 7,500 women having no periods, meaning totally sterile, right? And they knew they were doing this to women, agonizing cramps, passing hemorrhaging. This is all in like Mengele type charts. They knew that there's a section of the Pfizer documents where they they have 270 women who got pregnant, even though they were told not to get pregnant, and vaccinated men were told to use two reliable forms of contraception if they were going to have intercourse with women. Nonetheless, 34 women were followed to the end of their pregnancies, and over 80% of them lost their babies.
Mm.
And they knew this. They knew that the lipid nanoparticles accumulated in the ovaries, blocking the ovaries. And in fact, nurses now, for totally unrelated abdominal surgeries of their patients, are saying women's, childbearing age women's ovaries are blocked. These are, lipid nanoparticles are plastic, like an industrial fat. It literally is gluing their fallopian tubes shut, right, and accumulating in the ovaries. And it's, there's no way the body can get rid of it. So it's like the first injection, you get some of this material in your ovaries, the second injection more, the first booster more. And then, you know, how can you even have a baby? They knew that the lipid nanoparticles traverse the placenta, so the babies are not even growing to term anymore. Nurses have come forward to us, and also Dr. James Thorpe, saying, and midwives, that the placentas are compromised, so babies have to be delivered 2 months early, and that the placentas don't look normal anymore. They're like flat and compromised. They can't even support babies. And also Pfizer knew that they were hurting and killing babies. Like, they knew, they have two babies who die in utero, and this is in an 8-page report that was sent to the White House 3 days before Dr. Walensky called a press conference to say that the vaccines were safe and effective for pregnant women. And she had this in her hand, right? And two of the babies died, and Pfizer concluded that they died due to maternal exposure to the vaccine. That's what caused their deaths in utero.
Now, these numbers that you're talking about all came from the Pfizer's controlled test before it was rolled out to them.
And the post-marketing surveillance data, which is after it got rolled out as well. So both of those categories, like, people forget it was all a giant experiment. Even after it was rolled out, it was a giant experiment. So, you know, the trials didn't conclude till 2023. So those are 2 years of experimenting on people with it, knowing that they were causing reproductive damage. There's something in the semen of vaccinated men that Pfizer thinks is harmful to women. You know, again, they cautioned vaccinated men not to have intercourse with women, and they defined exposure to the vaccine as including sexual contact. As
for
well
a certain
as,
amount of time, Dr. Naomi, like
unfortunately, I'm so sorry, because my inbox is so full of frantic women saying, you know, what's more information about this? I mean, these people are such criminals. They should be answering these questions in a court of law, you know, under oath with a threat of criminal prosecution, because that's all we know in the Pfizer documents, right? That they knew that there was something in the semen of vaccinated men that in context seems like they understood that it would be bad for the mother or bad for the baby or possibly both.
And all of this to help protect people from basically the flu. I mean, something is treatable and much, much, much less risk than the cure.
And then what's interesting is demonizing people that didn't get the vaccination, you know, where it was such a sad situation, you know, people that were having medical issues that they were saying, don't even help them if they haven't been vaccinated. You know, don't even allow them to come into the hospital.
Yeah. Late night talk show. Hey, if you were having a heart attack and you've not been vaccinated, to stay in the park, you know, like that kind of language infiltrated, you know, kind of brainwashing the general population that if you didn't get this, you're a heartless killer.
Well, in retrospect, all of that makes sense, right? There was no, you know, pathogen as severe as we were told. The injections didn't even treat the pathogen, right? Again, the third most common side effect in Pfizer documents is COVID.
Right.
The vaccine didn't work to stop COVID. What it did work to do is collapse populations and kill people. And that there is no escaping that seems to have been the intention. And I'll fast forward to the end, which is my own original reporting, found that the mRNA injections, at least Pfizer's, are manufactured, distributed, the IP got transferred to China. And these are our existential adversaries. They want to wage war against us. They want our populations to collapse. There's an invasion from the southern border of, you know, new illegal immigrants who are not being forced to get this injection. And as Ed Dowd said, just wait 5 years. You know, the people who are Americans, who are forced, our soldiers, our sailors, our students, our healthcare professionals, that's my dog. You know, they will, they're getting sick and dying and unable to reproduce. There's a drop in birth rates in the United States. This was in Zero Hedge, and we replicated it with data, government data in Canada and Ontario. But there's a drop to pre-1979 levels in the United States. And while we are collapsing, our population, Western Europe's population is collapsing, of Europeans, right, of North Americans, massive millions of people from countries that have no tradition of human rights, or let alone kind of the rule of law, right, and criminal cartels. And I'm the daughter and granddaughter of immigrants. This is not about, you know, this is not a racist thing to say, or, you know, an anti-immigrant thing to say even. You know, legal immigration is a wonderful thing, but, you know, millions of people are being brought into the United States, flown to sensitive locations around the U.S., even as the native population was forced to take something that has collapsed our ability to reproduce or even survive.
I believe well over a year ago, we have more immigration into this country illegally than we do births in this country. Right. And so, I mean, that's a shocking thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't done by accident. And they're under a different set of rules of what they need to put in their bodies than the native population.
Can you cover some of the numbers coming out of Canada that they just had up on there? I think that's important for people to know.
Yeah. So Amy Kelly, my amazing COO who oversees Pfizer, volunteers, the 3,250 doctors and scientists who have read through the Pfizer documents and produced these 100 reports for us. She got from the Canadian COVID Care Alliance, an activist group, they FOIA'd medical data sets out of Ontario, one province in Canada. And these are really, it's a really important data set. We don't really have anything like it because medicine is socialized in Canada. And so what that means is that 6 million people in Ontario, pretty much everyone goes through this system. So they, and every time they see a doctor, it gets coded. So these are medical billing codes. So it's a very, very comprehensive data set. Again, we don't have, we couldn't see something like this unless you compelled Kaiser or a big hospital chain to produce their, you know, anonymized records. But what you see is that there are multiple categories of reproductive harm, including male infertility, low sperm count, no sperm in semen at all. There's a lot of inflammatory conditions of the reproductive organs. And again, lipid nanoparticles cause inflammation. And as Dr. Robert Chandler on our team said, they're like a shotgun blast to the body. They go everywhere. They go into every organ. So they're going into the pelvis, right? So you see this rise in inflammatory conditions in pelvic inflammatory disease in women. You also see inflammation of the reproductive system in men that has risen, pre-2020 and then 2021 and 2022. We don't have the data yet for 2023. You see menstrual disorders way up post-2021. You see bleeding in menopausal and postmenopausal women, which is a real danger sign under ordinary circumstances, way up. You see infertility, people, you know, consulting for infertility. It was 2.3 times greater than the number of patients coded to that in 2020. Wow. Yeah. And so you see a category called other disorders of the female genital organs. And that was more than 2.5 times the number this code was given to patients in 2020. And then the saddest ones there are missed abortion and incomplete abortion or complete abortion. And these are like creepy terms because they really have nothing to do with intentional abortion. These are like stillbirths or miscarriages, right? And so, you know, one category is the fetus stops developing, but the placenta and the embryonic tissue are still in utero. And that's that was 30,430 distinct patients, more than two times the patients assigned the code in 2020. And then incomplete abortion and complete abortion, which requires, I mean, that those are late term pregnancies. They would require a DNC of the what's left of the baby to, you know, even like get the mother out of like, this is the baby's dead, right? Mm-hmm. But it's, I guess what I'm trying to say is this is far more traumatic than a miscarriage, as traumatic as that is. This is like, you have to deliver a dead baby. You need a DNC to deliver a dead baby. Wow. Horrible trauma. And that is 44,929 unique patients. And if you just scroll down a little bit, I can tell you what. And
Dr. Amy, is it, this is just from Ontario?
Mm-hmm.
Just one province.
This isn't Ontario. Canada. This is
just Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a signal, you know, that not every category has an equally strong signal. But as an aggregate, you just have to start asking, well, the next thing to do, of course, is to look at all the provinces, and then you've got to start, you know, if science and medicine work at all in Canada, there should be quite very serious questions being asked about, you know, what's happening to the reproductive health and not just health, like capability. This is my dog, Loki. He wants to sit in my lap.
Hello.
I hope that's okay. He was not taking no for an answer. But if science or medicine work at all, it's like, what is happening to the people of Canada to make it so dramatically obvious that something is hurting their ability to reproduce, both male and female?
Man.
One other thing I've heard you reference, and it's a fascinating concept of the release in the body of hormone oxytocin, your ability to connect. It's this, like, you know, it's referred to, it, we used to be a part of a marriage workshop and talked about this idea of the importance of that and this
in a relationship.
This bonding hormone that's released that creates this, you know, connection that you have, you know, between humans. Even dogs, you know, I have a Doberman, and like by rubbing their ears, there's nerve endings inside of the flaps of ears that actually causes them to release oxytocin hormone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That creates this like bond connections. Why we're so much more bonded to dogs than you would be, you know, I don't know, a gerbil or something like that. Like it's a hormonal, you know, issue.
Right.
The attack on that ability, you know, that's causing a trajectory change. You know, we talk about the hormone side, right, of this, because you were writing on this years and years ago on that, but there's an impact today with that.
Right. Well, I'm really glad you brought that up, and thank you for following my work. I hope your audience won't be offended, but the title of the book that you referenced is Vagina. And I did in 2012, write a book about female sexual response and the connection between, you know, sex and the mind, which we all know it exists for men, but it exists for women too. And it goes, you know, in a Christian or religious context, I think it's quite appropriate, or Jewish as well, any religious context, to talk about this, because what holds a marriage together? It's, you know, among other things, this release of hormones that bond you to your mate, bond you to your partner. And, you know, flipping that question around, what degrades, what makes marriages vulnerable is are the kinds of practices that dial down that hormonal bonding with your mate.
Right.
And oxytocin is completely fascinating. I mean, oxytocin is the reason, okay, well, that you bring up a very important point. Oxytocin is released when babies are nursing. It's released in the mom, obviously in the baby as well. But that's one way that baby mammals, you know, bond with their moms, so that their moms don't leave them on an ice floe or neglect them to death, right? And so what's happening now, the lipid nanoparticles are in the breast milk of vaccinated moms, and they're making babies sick and killing them. I mean, this is so monstrous. But in the Pfizer documents, they have a death of a baby who went into convulsions nursing from the baby's vaccinated mom and died in an ER. And they also have one of these horrific charts showing how sick babies were getting from nursing from their vaccinated moms, vomiting, and these charts of sick babies that they knew they were making sick, convulsions and edema, which is the swelling of flesh, and failure to thrive. I mean, horrific categories. And they just, Pfizer's just like taking note, sick babies. They weren't telling the moms why their babies were sick, right? In fact, there's been no campaign to say to vaccinated moms, don't breastfeed your child. You will make your child sick. As sad as that is. But the point is, since 2021, nursing has gone from 34% of moms to 14% of moms. So that's, you know, millions of babies who are, and moms who are not bonding in that way. Right. And there are plenty of women, you know, previously who were not able to nurse, and I'm not judging anybody, but to poison breast milk is essentially to, you know, experiment on the ability of the next generation to feel secure, to bond, to feel nurtured. And these poor babies are getting sick when they're nursing their moms. So that's, you know, the psychological damage of that in both directions is we haven't even begun to see it. Now let's get to couples. I mean, first, you know, the reproductive damage that we're seeing in men, I don't think there have been any studies on sexual damage, except that we know that there's sexual damage because Amy Kelly found that the lipid nanoparticles degrade the testes of baby boys in utero. So there's degradation to, you know, men's, what makes men male, basically. And then for women, we know that there's a horrible disruption of their hormones because of the, like, what do fallopian tubes do? What do ovaries do? Among other things, they regulate your hormones, right? And ovulation regulates your hormones. And, you know, menstruation regulates your hormones. And now women's whole systems are being completely messed up. And also, how can you even have an intimate life with your husband or partner if you're bleeding every day of the month? Right. You know, like, women just don't feel good if they're having these kinds of conditions. They don't, you know, it's going to make it impossible to be a good mom, a good wife, a good worker. I mean, you're just, your whole kind
things
of
things that are organism. Fringe outliers, they're moving towards being common, you know, with this, you know, that would have been like, oh, that's that. Cause these all sound like one in a million, you know, somebody who knows somebody that knows somebody that would struggle with this. And you're moving them into numbers where these things become normal, but with lack of free speech and communication, these things become, everybody feels like they're isolated. Well, this is just me.
Nobody knows anybody else is experiencing it.
This is a unique thing in my situation. Not that it's happening mainstream in the audience. You cover this and are bringing these things out. This isn't something of, hey, we're going to just catch everybody up and this is tied in a bow. Next month and next month and the next month, the next month, people are going to need to know what's going on with this and be aware. That's why dataclout.io is a place that they can go, but also your Substack, Outspoken. We'll have a link to that down below. You are a disseminator of truth on all of these areas. And I think you need to be looked at as a go-to resource that somebody saves on their tabs, you know, on your computer, make, you know, bookmark it. It's a place to go to because you have the courage to do it, but you've also gone through the tremendous expense and aggravation of creating a platform to be able to have free speech available and to get these things to people with dataclout.io.
Yeah. No, it has been a lot of work. And it's not easy. Very expensive, as you mentioned. So we do appreciate if people are moved to support us or become members or donate. We really do count on that to keep our doors open and to bring you, you know, really important things like the election integrity bill, which we mentioned earlier, and these reports, which are so important.
Let's hit that and people can know where to go to on the site.
Just so you guys know, dailyclout.io. And then on the side there, the kind of pink purple button there, it says Election Transparency, Accountability and Inclusion Act. Click on that. And then Dr. Naomi, what's it going to take them to?
Yeah, so important. So I'm very worried about our elections. As a tech CEO, I became aware that, you know, we don't know who has won our elections since 2005 when the machines were rolled out because they're so easy to tamper with or hack. Mm-hmm. My developer actually said, you don't even need to hack them. You just need to give the back end credentials to someone in Croatia or someone in Beijing, and they can go in and change the outcome, or the algorithm can change the outcome. So it's catastrophic. So we drafted a model bill, myself, and I partnered with Phil Klein of the American Voters Alliance. And okay. It's a really good model bill. We've heard really good things from state legislators that it covers all the main issues. It's only 20 pages long. It's written in plain English, which was very important to me. And it basically, you know, ensures no machines, just paper ballots, hand counting. It solves the problem of ballot harvesting. You can't just get an absentee ballot. You have to proactively request it and, you know, witness it. You can still get it, but you have to have a good reason for not showing up to vote in person. It gets rid of the problem of illegals voting. Here in New York State, they don't have voter ID. With this bill, if we pass it in New York State or federally, everyone has to have a voter ID. They have to be citizens in order to vote. There's no more like 2 week long counting. Everything has to be counted in a day, public counting, and no more NGOs in the middle of everything, you know, Zuckbucks. It's everyone has to be a government official. And it just gets rid of all of the corruption. So it's been a struggle. You know, I went to Wyoming and they are passing it. Maine, it got defeated on a party line vote. I'm embarrassed to say the Democrats, because I used to be a Democrat, voted it down. But and it's clear that their intention is to cheat with absentee ballots, because that's what their questions were about. But we're reintroducing it in the fall. I'm talking to someone in Alabama. I'm talking to people in Tennessee. I need to go to Michigan. But everyone who's listening, please download this bill, send it to your state reps, ask them to invite me. I'll go at my own expense to any state house and lobby the state legislators to pass this bill. We've got to do it before November.
That's huge. Dr. Naomi, that is very powerful. So Flyover Conservatives, you know, our slogan is wake up, speak up, and show up. These are ways that you can speak up and show up to make a difference in the 2024 election. And we are 180 some days away right now.
We have it real clear. They know exactly what to do. Can we just reiterate that one more time?
Yep. So you want them to go to
those, for those in the back,
dailyclout.io. Make sure you go to that pink purple button, click on that. And then Dr. Naomi, they're going to send that to the representative.
Correct.
With the hopes of inviting you to that area.
Well, they can do a couple of things. They should ask their representative to sponsor it. They can also get 50 neighbors, you know, have a little potluck. I'm a big believer in potlucks. And, you know, then get 50 neighbors, ideally who vote, because these people know if you vote or not, to sign the letter to the representative saying, you know, we're your constituents. Please sponsor this. Please pass it. And lastly, they can invite, they can ask their state rep also to invite me to lobby in person at the state house at my own expense to get other people to pass this bill.
What's crazy is I think I've seen numbers as high as 80%, even higher, of the general population that are in favor of, you know, voter ID and, mm-hmm. and things that are going to give them a safe. It's like being an NFL fan and all the fans want fair play, you know, on the field, but like the commissioner of the league and the people, you know, are like, no, we don't want it. It seems crazy that this isn't a unifying right. no-brainer, mm-hmm. you know, that you would want this. Totally. So thank you for doing the work to make this possible and creating a system and a mechanism where people don't like, hey, what do I do? This is a clear, actionable item. Yes. And like you said, even mm-hmm. at your own expense to go there and be, you know, kind of a hair in the soup of this mess. Right. You know, to like, hey, we've got to look at this and address it. So thank you.
Yeah. So Flyover family, go to dailyclout.io as well as Substack. You're going to be able to find our Substack in the notes below, Outspoken. Dr. Naomi, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
All right. Let's get our stuff together here. Hi, I'm David Whited. If we could skip the hi, my name's David part, because that's where I kind of tend to derail. Hi. But I did good. See, look. First thing says, say your name. Say your name. Say your name, David Whited. Have you been wondering what to do with the spare time you have on Saturday mornings? Have I got a way for you to fill that time? Not cleaning your garage, folding your laundry, or doing something with yourself. Filling your head with worthless information about what may or may not have happened 5,000 years ago. Have you ever wondered about ancient civilizations or about chemtrails in the sky? Or have you ever had a friend at school talk to you about... friend at school?
Some days when you're sitting there with your lunch pail, you're talking to your friends at school, they bring up your flat earth, and you think it's a flat... I don't know if your flat earth is flat or not. I don't know, alligators are angry because they got all those teeth and no toothbrush.
And it's all true. And we talk about it every Saturday. We talk about Rubik's Cubes and stuff. We like to have conversations with people that have made documentaries, written books. Oh, this is terrible. I can, like, feel myself hating watching this later. Okay, give me a swoosh. Let's do this thing for real this time. Have I got a show for you? hang on, my eyes red now? You won't be able to tell in there. Peter can fix it. Can you run it through a filter? Can you run it through the Brad Pitt filter and get rid of my red eyes? Oh, I'm probably doing the world a disservice.
Flyover family, join me every Wednesday for the Prophetic Report at 11:11 Central. You can find it on Rumble. You can find it on the Flyover app. We have such an incredible time of hearing from all of these different prophetic voices like Robin Bullock, Julie Green, Barry Wunsch, Amanda Grace, and Hank Kuhneman. Every week, it's either five or six different prophets that are speaking, and what's interesting is God is speaking through them, and all of these voices come together like puzzle pieces. It is so exciting to hear what the Lord is saying. We're hearing from medical. We're hearing from military intelligence. We're hearing from the financial world. We're hearing from mainstream media, but the most important is, what is God saying? He has not fallen off the throne. He's not nervous. He's not chewing his nails. He is in control. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. What a great time to be alive. And I'm so excited for you to join me every Wednesday at 11:11.
For those of you that are my age or maybe even, you know, a little older in that range, you probably remember this commercial. Where's the beef?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I guarantee if there's a cut in the supply chain due to weather, any other kind of political attack, we're in election year, your kids are going to be looking at you saying that exact same thing if all you've stored is rice, beans, and maybe some pudding. They're like, where's the beef? They want to substitute real beef for stuff made in a lab.
It's alive!
Even if you're, you know, kind of a prepared person, you've got a few things stored, it's hard to take care of the protein source in a way that's still enjoyable. These prices are so good and the beef isn't in such good quality, you could be storing this beef and use it on a regular basis. This could be part of your Taco Tuesday experience because you don't have to worry about storing it in a freeze location.
The girl has tacos.
So go to flyovermeat.com, use promo code FLYOVER for a huge discount. Again, flyovermeat.com, promo code FLYOVER. For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.